Good morning. If you would, grab your Bibles, open with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. As we've been walking through the life of Elijah here these last couple of chapters, we have seen God do some pretty amazing things already. At this time, there's an evil king. He is has been a king in succession that have been evil and have done things against God, and so God has had enough, and so what he has done is he has sent Elijah as a prophet to let him know, to wake him up to what is happening, and ultimately he has told him that there will neither be rain nor dew upon the land because he has allowed worship of other gods and the people to do so. And so it has come to pass. Today, as you see here on the title, is Powerful Prayer. And I'm always cautious in what I call something because to me that almost insinuates that there is prayer that is not powerful. And so at first I really struggled with that. But then the more I thought about it, I realized how true that is. There are so many times, at least I can speak of myself and my walk with the Lord, that there are times that I come before the Lord and say things that are almost more out of routine or for me to say that I did what I'm supposed to do. And I would believe that those prayers are ineffective. But yet then there are other times that I come and I acknowledge his closeness and his goodness and who he is. And I think through what I'm saying before God. And in those times, it is though I'm sitting in the very presence of God and I acknowledge it and I realize it. And I would say those prayers have great power. And so today I am talking about two completely different things here. Times in which we come in total dependence upon the Lord, and then yet other times that we do so out of repetition, routine, even sometimes taking for granted of our ability to come into the presence of God. And so I want to challenge us today really just to reflect and to examine our own hearts. Why is it do I come before the Lord? Or do I come before the Lord? If we're honest, sometimes we just go through life without coming to him at all. And, you know, I want to remind us, even before we jump in, of something that, and I've mentioned this several times, but something I think we take for granted, and that is when Jesus was on the cross, it says the veil in the temple was torn. And listen, we're not Jews, weren't raised Jews, didn't have to send a priest in on our behalf to go into the Holy of Holies for us. And so I think sometimes we can just completely pull ourselves from that. But we do not realize the gift and grace that has been given to us that we get to go into the Holies of Holies. Like you remember, Moses went up on the mountain and he got to talk with God. All the Israelites stayed down low. They couldn't even touch the mountain. Listen, we get to go to the mountain now. We get to go up and talk to God face to face. And I feel like so many times we miss that. We don't understand that. And so today my prayer is, my hope is that as we look at Elijah and see how he has come with great confidence, how he has goes before the Lord with assurance, that we too will see differently the way in which we approach God. And I pray, it is my prayer, that today, as we go before God together, that we are greatly encouraged and challenged to do so on a regular basis in our lives. Today, we will continue the story. Elijah has gone before the king. He has told them that there is not to be rain, and now there hasn't. In the book of James in the New Testament, it tells us it was 3.5 years of no rain. So now God comes to Elijah and tells him to go before the king and tell him that rain will come. And so he goes before the king. Before he does, he asks for a showdown. Remember, there are 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah that Elijah calls out. They set up two different altars. And Elijah ultimately says, you call to your God, and then I'll call to my God. Whoever answers with fire upon these altars, that is the one true God and will be worshipped as such. He brings all the Israelites together and ultimately tells them, listen, if Baal is God, worship him. But if Yahweh, the one true God, the God of your ancestors, is the true God, follow him alone. And so here they have this showdown. And of course, the prophets of Baal and Asherah call to their false god with no answer. Elijah even boldly makes fun of them. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he is relieving himself. And then he steps forward and calls upon the one true God who answers in fire. Now, by this time, they have now killed all the prophets of Baal and Asherah, all 850 of them. And that leads us to where we're at. If you don't mind, if you are able to and would like to with me, stand in honor of the Word of God. 1 Kings 18, we will start in verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of the Mount Carmel. And he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again." Seven times he went. And at the seventh time, he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment, ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Father, we are grateful for your word. We're thankful that you have men that are obedient to you to experience and do some of these great and mighty things. Even as James would remind us in the New Testament, Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. And so, God, I pray that today that we would realize that if we will depend upon you and trust you and be obedient to you, that, Lord, whatever it is you call us to, we can do so with great confidence. And so, God, I pray that as a church, that we would believe you. When we're weak, when we're flawed, we would believe you and your power and your strength. I pray, Father, that you would bring a movement of your spirit among our community and our church, and that, God, we would see life changed. And so we need you. We depend upon you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Here are a couple of things that I want to look at, some qualities of powerful prayer that we see in Elijah here. The first one, if you're taking notes, is we see Elijah very humble. He is very humble. We see it in the posture of Elijah. I cannot think of anything more humble than to get on your knees and put your face to the ground or in between your knees. For whatever reason within our culture, this is not a posture that we take very often, even within our churches. Now, I cannot speak for you individually, but I would challenge you that at time when you are spending time with the Lord, to get into a posture that would recognize and show your dependence and need for the Lord. And I would recommend that knees are definitely a way to do that. Now, some of you are like, "Now, Chad, if I got on my knees, I'm not getting back up," right? But if you're able to, okay, then I would say do that. But think about this. Here upon his knees, who else would we bow down for, right? By getting on our knees, we are showing our surrender to who it is that we bow before. By getting on our knees, we are letting him know and acknowledging his lordship and his authority. And so there is not much more humble than that. To get on our knees is also to say that I personally am unworthy. I'm unworthy to stand in your presence. Now, we know because of Jesus that we have confidence to approach God, but yet it is this humility of heart of acknowledging who God is. And I would even argue that even prayer in of itself is a very humble act. It is humble to pray to a God who can when I am acknowledging that I can't. I need you. You are capable. I am not capable. So even the very act, and I think that if we reflect on our lives or begin to examine, if prayer is not a regular part of your life, that is a very prideful statement. And you may sit there and say, "Well, I don't mean for it to be, but if I don't see a need for God, then I'm not going to approach him." And so if you personalize it like that, then we can begin to think, well, do I need God? Do I let him know that I need him? Well, prayer is a very humble way to show him that. If we don't pray, we're ultimately saying, "I can do this on my own." And then we try. And I don't know about you, I've said this before, but I get so sick and tired of getting my own results, right? I'm left with myself, and I'm not very strong. And so we need Jesus. We need him. We need his power. We need his strength. And so the veil has been torn. We get to go into the presence of God and speak to him. Go speak to God. Go up the mountain. You know, Moses came down and his face was veiled because of the glory of the presence of God. And everyone was fearful. We don't have to be fearful. We get to go to the presence of God. How long will we go, will we live trying to do it on our own? We need Jesus. In James chapter 4, listen to what he says here. He says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then in verse 10, he says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. You see, God opposes the proud, and how prideful is it to try to do and live this life that he has called us to on our own? So we run to his presence. Not only was Elijah humble, but also Elijah and his prayers were very specific. Now, I've said this before, but I think often we pray prayers that are kind of broad and we try to give God a way out as if he needs one. Well, if he doesn't answer the prayer, at least I'm just kind of throwing out these broad stroke things. No, be specific. Share what it is that you're coming before the Lord with. Because as we do, it is when he answers that there can be no other explanation except that God did what we came before him asking for him to do. I have a friend, he's actually in the hospital, who just had a bypass surgery, but his name is Keith Wheeler. He carries a cross all over the world, and literally he has indentions in his shoulder as wide as the cross because he just spent so much time carrying a cross. But anyway, has powerful stories. And one time I was eating lunch with him, and I was just asking him to share with me. And he told me one time, he said, I was carrying a cross. It was hot. And he always wears jeans and the same shirt like every day. Anyway, but he was carrying the cross, and he said, I was hot. And he goes, just kind of in my mind, I was like, you know, I'm thirsty. And he goes, and you know what would be really good is an orange Fanta. He just said, it just kind of crossed my mind. And he said, it wasn't 5 or 10 minutes later, a woman pulled up. She rolled down the window and she said, son, are you thirsty? And he says, oh, ma'am, I am so thirsty. And she goes, oh, goody, right? And she gets out of her car, she opens her trunk, and she goes, son, you wouldn't happen to like orange Fanta, would you? And he goes, oh, man, I love orange Fanta. She opened up her trunk, and there was a cooler full of orange Fantas. And she says, you know what? The Lord told me a couple of hours ago that there was a young man out here that was thirsty. I was blown away by this story. He said that it wasn't just 5 or 10 minutes before that he had just crossed his mind. We have a God who is a good God, and he is a good father and likes to give good gifts. I don't know about you, but I love giving my girls good gifts as a father, and we have a father who does as well. And it doesn't mean he's always going to give us everything that we want. The Bible tells us that, right? We don't just ask for things that we'll spend it on ourselves. But we do so in the will of the Lord and knowing that. And that was why when Elijah prayed, he prayed for stuff specific. Here, he prayed for his rain. Why? Because God had already promised it. Listen, when you are reading the Word of God and you come to a promise of God, that is one that should lead you to remind God of his promises and ask for that. When God promises to bless or promises to bring about salvation, then those are things that we should ask for, right? Here, we see in verse 1 of chapter 18, God says, go to Ahab because I'm going to bring rain upon the land. It was a promise of God. So it's easy to pray before the Lord and ask him of something he's already promised, right? And here, this is what Elijah did. And he prayed that it would rain, a very specific prayer. In James chapter 4, he says, you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. So often, we ask selfish things. We have our mind not set upon eternity, but upon the things of the earth. And so, there are times when we ask these things and we don't get them because they're personal or they're even have wrong motives. But he says that And ultimately, he says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity or actively opposed to God? So, in other words, what I'm saying is that when we have our mind set upon what God, his desire is, when you know somebody, you begin to know the patterns of their heart and of their desires. And it's the same with God. When you read God's word, and again, he speaks truths, then you can pray those things because it's the heart of God. So not only was he specific, but also he was persistent. Here we see in verse 43 where he tells his servant to go and look to the sea. The servant comes back and says nothing. And so what does Elijah do? He continues to pray. God, this is your promise. Your promise was that you would bring rain. And so he begins to pray, Lord, bring rain in your timing. So he sends the servant. The servant comes back and says nothing. Did Elijah get mad and start throwing things? I already asked twice. What else more do you want? No. He went to the Lord and he knew that the Lord was God and that his timing was best. And so he trusted him. But he knew that he had promised it. So he got before the Lord and he said, Lord, ask that you'd bring rain. James would say he even prayed fervently, right? So he sends him again, and he comes back, and he says nothing. Seven times, he sends him back, and on that seventh time, he comes back, and he says, Elijah, I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to see, but all I see is this little cloud about the size of a man's fist. Elijah gets up. That's it. Go tell Ahab that he needs to hurry because rain is coming. You can imagine the servant kind of looks at him and is like, it's a little cloud, right? Just legend handed down over time says that his servant here is actually the widow's boy that he rose from the dead. I don't know if that's true. It's not found in scripture that. It's just as I was studying, one of the translate or Bible commentators said, but I don't know. But one of the things that I think about is how Elijah, when he had the promise of God and then God began to answer, it was though he was expectant, right? I mean, for him to send the servant every time, he was expectant as to who God answering the prayer. And so my question is how many times do you pray and then have this confidence and expectancy that God will answer? And so the fourth thing is just that. Elijah was expectant. He expected God in this to uphold his promise. And so he could pray with great confidence. Here it says on the seventh time, the cloud, small as a man's hand, is rising from the sea. His servant comes back. And so Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. In Mark chapter 11, it says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So after a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, not knowing how far this was, began to try to figure out, and they say that it's at least 16 miles from here on the mountain to Jezreel. Now, Ahab was the capital was still at Samaria, but Ahab had built a palace here at Jezreel and was actually known later on to be Ahab of Jezreel. So this must have definitely been his home. And so him going home, think about this. Elijah ran ahead of the chariot, got to the outskirts, or at least the entrance of Jezreel. I always wonder, well, why wouldn't he go in? And I've just got to thinking, you know, Jezebel is Ahab's wife, and it is pretty plain to know that she pretty much ran the kingdom at this time. And so maybe Elijah didn't go fully into the city because he wanted to wait to see how Jezebel would respond after the 850 prophets have been killed. We later know how she responded, right? And we'll get into that in the weeks to come. But what I want us to see here is that he was expectant. He believed that as he prayed and asked God of something that God had already promised, that it would come to pass. And so just a few questions. Think about and examine your own life. Would you say that you are dependent upon the Lord? Do you run to Him? Do you call to Him? Do you depend upon Him? In your prayer life, do you go? Are you specific in your prayers? Maybe you have a family member or a friend who doesn't know the Lord. Be specific in your prayers. Maybe you would pray things like, I've given a list of them here. Maybe you would be specific to say, Lord, I pray that you would draw this person to yourself. And be very specific. Enter their name in there. Maybe you would say, I pray that this person would hear and believe the word of God. I pray that this person would seek to know you. I pray, Lord, and I ask, Lord, to prevent Satan from blinding the mind of this person from your truth. Would you be so, you see, you're praying very specific prayers about salvation. The next one. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would convict this person of his or her sin and to see their need for Jesus in their life. I ask that you send somebody who will share the gospel, and then I would challenge you to even offer up yourself. Lord, is that me? Send me. Let me know. Help me to be obedient. Lord, I pray that this person would put all of his or her trust in Christ. You see, we're very specific in praying for God to move. If we're not careful, we'll just say, God, move in people's lives around me. God, I pray for the people of my community. No. I want you to use someone's name. I want you to be specific. God, would you pray for, would you send somebody to speak to this heart? Would you transform their life and their mind? And so today, as we talk about prayer, so many times we talk about how prayer is, but then not spend much time as a family coming together to pray. As I've been preparing for our mission trip, we leave here in a week and a half, and I am going to teach some pastors about discipleship when I get there, and so I've just been preparing, and I came across this prayer wheel. And so for you, maybe praying for long periods of time is not something you do. I'm not saying at all that praying longer makes your prayer any more powerful, but I think that sometimes we think, oh, there's no way I could pray for an hour or pray for a long period of time. And so, but if you were to use something, just a tool like this, that would help you to stay focused and to help you move along in your thoughts, and I don't know about you, but I can start praying and be praying for something, and before I know, my mind is way off on something else, and I'm like, whoa, how did I get over here, you know? But this would maybe help you to stay focused, and I'll put this in the newsletter next week, that way you can have a copy of that. But here, starting with praise, and then waiting, and confession, and read the word, petition, intercede, and we'll kind of walk through these. But I wanted to take a few minutes here today, together, that we would, not an hour, okay, some of you are like, whoa, but just kind of walk through some of these together and just spend some time and just guide. And I want you to see how easy it is that if we set aside, acknowledge who it is we're coming before, that we can pray and we can stay focused and we can be intentional, we can be specific, and pray in such a way that is powerful. Now, I know already, for some of you, you're thinking, wow, this is going to be really awkward or hard, but I'm going to even make it more awkward. Are you ready? If you are here and you just know that you're easily distracted, maybe you've already been dozing a little bit and you're like, okay, I'm not going to be able to close my eyes for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes here. I want to give you the freedom to move. If that means get up from your seat and just stand up so as to not fall asleep. If you know yourself well enough that maybe like Elijah, you're going to need to humble yourself. There's just been so much going on or whatever, you can't think of getting before the Lord unless you're on your knees, then come get on your knees. Turn around in your chair, get on your knees, whatever you need to do. I think so many times we come to settings like this, and if someone is doing something different than me, then it's really awkward. This morning, we're pulling that from the table, right? If you need to get up, if you need to go back, if you need to move just to where you're not distracted, we're just going to spend some time before the Lord. It's going to be focused. Keep your mind engaged. Your mind is going to want to wander. You're going to be distracted. But I want to challenge you. As we get ready to enter the presence of God, which we believe He's here, But as you enter in to pray and to talk to God, would you prepare your life? And I think posture is a lot of that. And so, as we get ready to pray, I just want to challenge you right now. Get before the Lord. If you need to move, move. If you need to turn around on your seat and get on your knees, do that. If you need to come up here, do that. Whatever it is, you get before the Lord, and let's spend some time as we pray. Here on the wheel, we're challenged to start with praise. Would you praise God for who He is? Maybe you would thank Him for being all-powerful and having all authority, that He could speak and the world be created. Would you praise Him for holding the world in His hand, for knowing all things, for being ever-present? Would you praise Him for the love that He has shown to you, the grace? As Merle is up here at the front on his knees, I praise God for the healing of Merle's cancer. Oh God, we praise You. As there's some in here who have had loss recently, God, we praise You for being hope that this is not the end. Oh, the eternal hope that we have in You. The second one is waiting. This is hard. Rarely are we silent at all. So would you in this moment just wait? Wait upon the Lord. Would you confess things that you've allowed to get in the way of your walk with the Lord? Would you confess pride and arrogance? You don't need God, you can do it on your own. Would you confess the things that you've run after? Success, happiness. Maybe some who you're just a step or two away from horrible sin. Oh God, I pray right now for confess. Give strength to confess. Maybe you confess your lack of obedience. You know God has led you to do things, to share with someone, and you've been too fearful. Next one is read the word. This is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that He have asked, that we have asked of Him. Oh Lord, what a great confidence that we have to come into Your presence. We know that You hear us. Lord, that there is great power. Petition. Would you you pray for someone who's hurting? Maybe you yourself this morning are hurting, and maybe you've been alone, maybe you've been struggling, and you would just call to the Lord, Lord, I know this is not your plan. Lord, would you speak to my heart? Or maybe you know someone else has had loss or is hurting right now. Would you ask the Lord to be peace, comfort for them? God, I pray for our brother Monty. Lord, as he has been battling cancer, we pray, Father, that you would give him a hope in you. God, would you heal him? Lord, I pray that his family sees the hope and courage that he has in you and that they are drawn closer to you because of it. Would you intercede for someone? Lord, I pray for my neighbor who does not know you. God, I pray for Dean, Lord, that you would speak to his heart. I pray that he surrenders to you. And Lord, help me to build a relationship with him. Lord, I pray for Michael, who also doesn't know you. Lord, I pray that there is a surrender in his life, that he would come to know you. Would you pray specific prayers for the lost? Co-worker, friend, family member, neighbor. Next one is pray the Word of God. What scripture comes to your mind? Thanksgiving. Oh, thank God for the things that he has done, the gifts and blessings that are there. Oh, praise him. Praise him for the grace. Praise him for the moments of closeness, leadership. Praise him for the safety. Praise him for your faith family. Thank him for the good things that he has done. There is nothing good that we have or do that does not come from the Lord. Meditate. Think about an attribute of God that you are amazed by. Oh, is it his forgiveness? How could he forgive so much? Is it his judgment? Oh, justice will come for all men, all people. Is it his power, his presence? Oh, meditate on the goodness of God. Again, it's hard for us to be silent and just to listen to the Lord. But that's when he speaks. That's when he leads. Listen. Think of who God is. right now he is surrounded, his throne is surrounded by those singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We praise you for being God. We praise you for loving us, allowing us to come into your presence. We praise you that we have your Spirit in us to lead us and empower us. Oh God, we praise you. We praise you that our sins have been paid for. We praise you. We praise you for the price that has been paid. We praise you for the blood that has been shed. God, you are worthy of worship, not only our worship, but the worship of every single person in this world. So God, help us to lift you up. Help us to not neglect your presence, but to come to you. Oh God, we need you. We depend upon you. Speak to our hearts today. We skipped singing, and so Drew is going to lead us. And I want to challenge you to continue to respond to the Lord. If you want to just continue your time in prayer, continue that. If you want to come to the front and maybe ask someone to pray with you or for you, you come. If today, as you're in the presence of the Lord, you've realized you don't know him, you have not trusted in Jesus, I want to tell you, respond to him today. You come. I would love just to encourage you. Sit down with you, pray for you, respond as the Lord would lead.